This is the King Chasing Podcast, where we keep Christ at the center of athletics. Here's your host, Brandon Gilmore.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. I'm Brandon, and this is the King Chasing Podcast. As always, thanks for joining us, and please make sure to visit our website at thenccaa.org for more King Chasing content. Today's guest is Michelle Leonard, the head women's soccer coach for Baylor University. Michelle spent 14 years as head coach at Dallas Baptist University, where she amassed a 277-26 record while leading the Patriots to 13 conference championships, an NCCAA national championship, and an NCAA Division II Final Four appearance. She's earned several Conference Coach of the Year awards, along with the United Soccer Coaches National Coaching Staff of the Year in 2021. Thanks for listening today, and I hope you enjoy my conversation with Michelle. Well, hey, Michelle, welcome to King Chasing. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Brandon. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. We're super thankful for you taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us today. I'd love if you could open the time with me by just sharing your story of how you got into soccer and then also your journey to Baylor University.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. I always love chatting with you guys at the NCCAA and have a lot of history there. So thanks for thinking of me.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a lengthy story. I'm going to try to summarize it, but I think that there's parts that are really important that go way back to how I got to DBU. They kind of paint the picture for my arrival here at Baylor a little over a year and a half ago. And, you know, I grew up playing soccer in Lubbock. And so my connections to Baylor actually go back to my youth soccer career and my going into college career. I actually came to soccer camp at Baylor whenever I was in high school. And I really have always felt drawn here and had an opportunity to come and play here, was recruited to come and play here. I was given a better financial opportunity at the University of North Texas, which is where I ended up going, but always kind of had this part of my heart being kind of pulled toward Baylor. And so, you know, after my college playing days, went into coaching. And this part of my story I've talked about a little bit in some other podcasts, but I've never quite shared what I'm about to share right now, just like in a public forum in this way. But when I went to DBU in 2008, I had actually just, what led me there is a really interesting story. My husband and I had just suffered a significant tragedy in our life. We had just lost a baby at birth. And so we're recovering from a really tragic experience. And during that experience, why that's relevant is that during our hospital stay and as we were dealing with that situation, my mom brought my Bible up to the hospital for me as I had requested. And I just prayed to God that he would just give me some direction in that moment. And then I opened it and just pointed at the first scripture that I saw. And that scripture was Jeremiah 29:11. And so most of us know that by heart. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans for hope and a future. And so in that moment in 2007, October 2007, God really pointed me toward that verse for trust in him in that moment. And as we moved through that situation and through that tragedy, a few months later, I started looking at like what was going to be next for me. And friends of mine were asking me if I was going to go back into coaching. I was actually had just taken a break from coaching as we were getting ready to have our first child. And the DBU job became available, Dallas Baptist University. And I didn't know much about DBU at the time. And I went on their website and just typed in dbu.edu. And when the webpage popped up, there's Jeremiah 29:11. And so I knew in that moment, like I knew I was being called to DBU and I was pretty underqualified. I was 26. I'd never been a head coach. I didn't have a master's degree, which they were hoping for. I had started it, but not finished it yet. And so I went through that process, and DBU gave me a wonderful opportunity and took a risk on a young kid. And, but I knew I was meant to be there. And so fast forward 14 years later, I knew that if the time came for me to leave DBU, it was always going to be really, really hard. And I was going to need a lot of direction from the Lord to like take that next step because I felt so connected there. During my 14 years there, I had both of my kids there. They basically were raised on the soccer fields at DBU. And I was just personally connected to everybody on campus and that program in a way that was, it's really hard to put to words. And so in 2021, when the opportunity came up to come to Baylor, we were still in season. And this is a funny part of the story, actually. A lot of my, the Baylor job became available while we were still competing. And a lot of my friends were asking me, are you going to apply? It seemed like an obvious next step because the schools are so similar. And my family, my husband, he's like, are you going to apply? And I just couldn't even think about it. I was like, we're in season. We're trying to win a national championship. I felt really loyal to the program. And I told my husband, like, I can't do it. But if Baylor calls me, then we'll have to take it serious. And my husband says, Baylor's going to call you? I was like, no, probably not. So we won't have to worry about it. And he wasn't trying to be mean. He was just saying, that's not right. How these things work. You know, like, you need to put your name in the hat. And so anyways, long story short, Baylor did call. And when that call came in, they called the athletic director, Connor Smith, at the time at DBU to tell them they were interested in talking to me. And he called me. And I knew in that moment that, like, wow, we really have to take this serious. And this is more than just like another call. And so I really mention it because I think that God was really gracious to me in that time in my life to like say, like, your time at DBU is coming to an end. And he made it really clear for me throughout the next week or two or three of processes that like this was the next step. So it's kind of a long story, but that's how I got to Baylor, and otherwise I wouldn't be here.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that story. Now, in 14 seasons at DBU, you led the Patriots to a 277-26 record, 13 conference championships, and an NCCA national championship. What do you most attribute all that success to?
I mean, I could probably talk all day about like what, how we kind of did things there, but I really think that it came down to like, I knew I was meant to be there, and I knew it was about more than soccer. And that's part of why I shared that initial part of our story, because when I went there, I was in such a vulnerable state that winning wasn't top of mind. Like, I'm a very competitive person and I wanted to win, but, and I always want to win, but I knew that like my calling into coaching was about far more than just winning, and that we could do both things. And so we always strive to keep first things first and love the Lord and love and take care of the players, use our God-given gifts and encourage them to use their God-given gifts to glorify the Lord. And I, you know, I always believed that doing things the right way would lead to winning, and it did. And so while I'd love to take all the credit, like, God really ordained that time there and really guided us through with a clear vision from day one. But I don't think it's as much about soccer as it is about how we just engaged with our team on a regular basis. And God had a plan for that place and shared it with me. And I was really, really fortunate to get to be a part of it.
After winning the 2020 NCCA national title, you led your team to an NCAA D2 Final Four appearance in 2021, also picking up your 200th career win in the process. How special was that for you to hit that career mark in such a big postseason game?
Yeah, I don't know if I can adequately put into words like what that moment meant for me and for my family. I was already talking to Baylor at that time about this job, and I was super conflicted on what my future was going to look like. As I mentioned, I really didn't even want to be thinking about it. I was trying to focus on the season that we were having at DBU. Still, almost 2 years later, I still get slightly emotional about it. I just wanted to focus on the moment and get DBU to a Final Four. I knew it could be my last game at DBU ever, because if we advanced out of that game, we were going to be playing somewhere else. And I knew there was a chance I was never coming back to that field. And so that moment with the team, a lot of our alumni were there, players I had coached over the past 14 years, my family, my kids and my husband, who've been nothing but supportive throughout this process. And a big part of it, too, it was just really, really special and something I can't quite put to words, and something I'm really grateful that I got to be a part of, because I'll forever cherish that experience.
I'm curious, was that, did the players all know, like, did everybody in that game, like, know, like, if we win, this is Coach's 200th career win, or was that kind of just kept quiet? Or
I don't know if they, I don't know how much they knew, if I'm being honest with you, because I didn't talk about it. I hated, like, when we would approach those milestone games, I never talked about it. It felt like we're going to jinx ourselves or something. And right. I kind of realized as we got toward the end of the season that that could happen, because one of our SIDs at DBU shared with me when we were like at like 195 or something, and I could kind of predict like, oh no, like this is going to come up at this like really critical moment.
Right.
And yeah. So I didn't tell them, though, after the game. Yeah. You know, there was like a big celebration and DBU was so kind to highlight me in that moment and what our team had accomplished. And so maybe I had asked our SID not to share it with the players.
Yeah.
I don't get too superstitious, but, you know, as they say on The Office, maybe a little stitious. And so it wasn't something that I was talking about.
Yeah. Now, in your first year at Baylor, your team went 4-11-2, but then you built some momentum with an undefeated spring season. Something I've seen throughout your social media and the team's social media is depth before height. Can you share what you mean by that?
Yeah, we knew when we came to Baylor that we'd be undertaking a complete shift in style of play. The previous program had a strong identity in the way that they played and the style, and but we knew coming in that it was our goal to really modernize the style of play in order to help get the program to the next level and stay there consistently. And I mean, the reality is sometimes you got to go backwards before you can go forwards. And depth before height is about being willing to do all the early hard work to lay the foundation for something really special. And so it means that we've got to dig deep before we can build up. You know, we've used this building analogy within our program all year. We talk about it a lot with our recruits as well. We have this blueprint vision, right, for our program and where we want to go. Conference championships, NCAA tournament every year, top 10 program, eventually competing for a national championship. Like, these are the goals. This is where we want to go. But to get there, we got to lay a really, really strong foundation. And so that's where that kind of analogy, depth before height, come from. When you're building a really, really tall building, they've got to dig really deep first, put in these piers, make sure that it's strong enough to sustain the height that they're eventually going to go to. And so I think we've done that this past year and a half. The spring indicated that we're moving in the right direction. The group we have right now is really exciting, and we've made a lot of progress. And so we can't wait to start building up now this season.
That's cool. Now that you're at a Division I program where the time commitment expectations are typically higher than that at the D2 level, what are some ways you've tried to maintain a balance of work, family, and faith?
For me, you know, it's never really been about balance. Like, I had to really reconcile what that word meant to me like a long time ago, because in college athletics in general, like, I don't know, you know, if it's really such a thing, because certain times of the year, like, we have to commit more time and energy to certain aspects, you know, in season and so forth. But for me, it's more about incorporating all these things together in one big pot rather than pieces of a pie. And so, for example, my family is around and involved with the program all the time. My kids have grown up on the soccer field. So for me, I was never choosing soccer over the kids. It was, they got to have these experiences and be exposed to things that maybe some other kids don't get the opportunity to be exposed to because of my career. So like, for example, we just had camp here at Baylor the past week. Both of my boys were here. One of my sons plays soccer, so he was participating, and the other one doesn't. So they come out, they work our camps. He serves with the little bitty kids. He's 12 and he loves to be with the little ones. He's athletic, so he can do it even though he doesn't play soccer, and he did when he was younger. And so they're just around a lot, and they part of the family, and the team is family. So to me, it's just one big family, an extension of our family. And we talk openly about our faith. Our top goal is still to share the gospel and make disciples. And so I don't think I could see myself leaving DBU if it wasn't for a school where I was able to continue doing that. That's why Baylor was appealing, and an option that I was willing to consider was that I knew I could come here, and that was still the big picture behind everything at this university is really trying to lead people toward Jesus. And so, you know, we try to coexist all those things together, faith, family, football, as we say here at Baylor. And I couldn't do it without the support of my kids and my husband carries a heavy load in season. And he's my biggest fan, really. And he was like, you got to do this. What a great opportunity. And I said, are you sure? Like, I don't know, like, with our kids and the ages that they are, and they've got all their sports, how are we going to manage? He's like, I'll take it. I'll pick up the slack when you're in season. And to his credit, he has. I wasn't sure, because it's a lot. But, you know, my kids are 12 and 14, so it's easier now than it would have been when they were little. Right. But they're still very active, and they've got their own activities. So But that's how we do it. It's one big family and we all are in it together. And my husband really is a superhero when we're in season.
Yeah, that's great to be able to have that opportunity at a Division I program where there may not be as many opportunities to find a school like a DBU where you were at before.
Absolutely.
Baylor's athletic department's vision is preparing champions for life. You kind of touched on this a little bit just then, but how are you and your coaching staff working towards that with the student athletes on your team?
Again, like this question could be like a whole podcast in itself because this is really like what we do, right? Like this is like defining like how we run our entire program and our entire philosophy. And I was trying to think of how to summarize this. And the best way I can think of is we have a leadership philosophy that we call empower, equip, and expect. And it's basically you can apply that to the soccer field and how our players interact with one another on the soccer field, their life outside of soccer, their academics. Empower just means giving them opportunities to take ownership over their life, their soccer, their school, equipping them, teaching them how to navigate these things, whether it's, balancing academics and athletics or navigating complicated relationship issues, or most importantly, like, what do I believe and why? Like, what is life about? These deeper questions that we are fortunate enough to have the opportunity to get to talk openly about here at Baylor. And then expect just means hold them accountable, hold them accountable to those things and to the high standards that we've put in place. And it doesn't mean that they're perfect. It means that when they fall short, we expect that they own it and they take responsibility and they try to be better. And same for ourselves as coaching staff. We try to follow that same kind of philosophy. And so while, like I mentioned, it's a big question, our goal is to prepare them for life after college and life after soccer. And just life in general. And so we get pretty deep into all of that. And it goes way, way, way beyond soccer. But this idea of the three E's, empower, equip, and expect, is kind of how we frame that.
If you could go back to your first year of coaching and give yourself some advice, what would it be?
I think it's the same thing that I would tell myself right now going into this season. And that is, it's be present, be in the moment. Enjoy this before the pressure gets too big, like try not to think about all the external factors and all the things weighing heavily on you and just like enjoy being with your team and enjoy getting this opportunity because it's such a privilege that we have to do this for a living. I get paid to be on the soccer field every day and yes, it comes with some trade-offs, but I love it and I love the players and I love the coaches and I love the competition. I love the relationships we get to have. And if you're not careful, you lose sight of all of that and you get buried in the weeds of paperwork and stress and pressure to win. And so trying to just stay in the moment and enjoy these days is really hard. But what I would really tell myself to do and what I'm telling myself to do going into this season, and you'll make mistakes. That's a necessary part of the process, but put first things first and winning will take care of itself.
That's good. I got one final question for you. The U.S. women are tied at 4 points with the Netherlands in their group at the World Cup, with one group stage game left. What have you thought about their play in their first two games, and how far do you think they can go?
I think that watching the US women right now, I think a lot of coaches have a lot of opinions and as a coach, I try hard to like put myself in the shoes of that coach and that staff. And we don't know, there's so much we don't know about what's going
Right.
on behind the scenes and some of the injuries that they've dealt with. What I do know about the US is that they have the strongest culture in the world, the US women, for competing at the highest level of women's soccer. Tactically, I think they're still trying to find themselves a little bit. And I'm hoping in the next game, some of that becomes a little bit clearer. How we're playing out of possession, I think, needs to be a little bit clearer. Our decisions in the final third need to be a little bit clearer, but they're loaded with extremely talented players. Lindsey Horan's goal in the last game is just such a great example of the mentality that the U.S. have. I think we're to a point in women's world soccer where mentality is not going to be enough on its own, but because of the US's mentality, you just can't count them out. Like, are they going to win it all? I don't know. I mean, three in a row is extremely difficult, but if anybody in the country has the ability to do it, it's the US, and it's the mentality piece will be could be a differentiating factor. But the other countries have closed the gap. There's a lot of tactical and technical improvements, the mentality in the other countries has improved as well. The Netherlands is a great example. And so it'll really be fun to watch. I think they have a really good chance. But at this point in time, I think one more game before we really have a chance to say, like, this is the U.S.'s identity. And then maybe ask me again after that one.
Fair enough. Well, that's all the time we have. But thank you, Michelle, for joining us on King Chasing.
Yeah, thanks so much, Brandon. Really appreciate it.
Thanks again to Michelle for sharing about her journey to Baylor, the success she experienced at DBU, and how she's preparing champions for life. If you haven't yet, please subscribe to the King Chasing podcast on whatever app you use to listen. We would also appreciate it if you encouraged others to listen and subscribe. Once again, we're thankful to you for tuning in and supporting us. Join us next time on King Chasing. Take care, everyone.